This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. So today we're going to look at the ninth principle of da'wah, which is the importance of tazkiyatun nafs, of purification of the soul. This is the last of the nine qualities focused on the self. The remaining three qualities that we will cover over the rest of the series focus on your interactions with others, with your relationship with others. So until now, we're looking at self-improvement, that to become the best du'at, there are certain things we need to change about ourselves. We need to have the right intentions. We need to have good knowledge. We need to be people of excellence. We need to have good character. We need to have good manners, courage, honesty, compassion, wisdom, and we need to ensure that we do not neglect the purification of our own souls. The remaining three characteristics that we will discuss over the next few videos focus on your relationship with others in the da'wah. So that is suhba, which is an important part of purification of the soul, that you spend time in the company of the righteous, so it's very linked to today's topic, as well as nasiha, that you are open to advice from others who know who care about what is best for you, people who genuinely care for you. And number three is ta'awun, that you work with others instead of being individualistic or sectarian. You try your best to work with as many people as possible. Now, today's topic is especially important because purification of the soul is not just important for the success of your da'wah. In reality, it is important for your success in the akhirah. Because at the end of the day, when we all pass away, we will have to account to Allah for how we lived our lives. And the path to success on that day is mentioned multiple times in the Quran. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Right? Successful is the one who purifies. Successful is the one who purifies the soul. And so purification of the soul is necessary for success in this world and the next. Now, you may ask that this is obvious, of that if you are a Muslim, you should be focused on purification of the soul. What's that got to do with da'wah? And I will say it has everything to do with da'wah. Because really, the best way to call people towards Islam is to be a role model of Islam. In the past, people would be attracted to Islam simply by the piety and character and spiritual presence of a Muslim. That they would sense that this person's soul has been radically transformed by the message of truth. So it has to be the true message of God. And to some extent, in many parts of the world today, it feels like this spiritual aspect is missing from the da'wah. That the da'wah has become all about debates and intellectual arguments, and it has lost that sense of connection with Allah and spirituality. And so in our times, we have these two extremes, right? On one extreme, we have some people who don't engage in da'wah at all. They are only concerned with themselves. And their excuse is that my soul is not pure, so I need to fix myself first, then I'll preach to others. That's one extreme. The opposite extreme are those who are focused only on preaching to others, but they forget their own selves. Right? There are people out there who have spent a lot of time in the da'wah, but they make no effort to purify their own souls. And if you look at the first group, I remember when I was younger, one of my teachers was of this mindset. And he would say that you need to focus on purifying your soul first before preaching to anyone else. And what this did with those students who took what he said literally is that they never started preaching to others. Why? Because technically, purification of the soul is a lifelong journey. There will always be areas of that need improvement. There will always be weaknesses. There will always be something that's not 100% right with your soul. Some secret sins, some bad desires, some struggle with intentions. There's always going to be this. You are never going to attain perfection in the purification of the soul. So if you make perfection of the purification of the soul your condition to start preaching to others, you are never going to start preaching to others. And so we need to be careful with this phrasing and this wording. We shouldn't be telling people that you have to purify your soul before you start preaching to others. Rather, we should tell people you need to purify your soul and preach to others. That these are two things that need to be happening at the same time. You learn the message, you convey it to others at every opportunity you get, but you do not neglect your own soul. And that's the other extreme. You know, once I was attending a meeting with people from different dawah organizations, and I was very young at that time, so I hadn't really been exposed too much to the dawah scene yet. I expected to see a group of pious people who are concerned about the ummah and who, you know, put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Unfortunately, at these meetings, you'd find that there were people there who didn't pray five times a day. Some didn't pray at all. Many had haram sources of income. Many were dressed in ways that are completely haram and un-Islamic. They were actively and openly flirting with members of the opposite gender in front of other du'at, despite being married and supposedly du'at themselves. And I was very confused by what I saw. And over the years, I noticed this to be a trend in many parts of the world, that there are people who have made dawah their job. They made dawah their source of income or something they do to make themselves feel good. Yet they neglect the aspects of Islam that are even more important. Be very clear about this. Praying five times a day is more important than doing dawah. I'd rather that you pray five times a day and not do dawah than do dawah and not pray five times a day. The pillars of Islam come first. That should be the priority. If someone is neglecting their salah, who does not take salah seriously at all, and they are calling people to Islam, what level of barakah is there going to be in this call? This is a very defective call because you don't even take the fundamental pillars of what you are calling to seriously. That your call hasn't even had an impact on your own soul. It's even worse when you see du'at who have haram sources of income and they use that haram sources of income to fund their dawah. I know of entire Islamic organizations and schools that are funded on haram money. And this will affect the quality of the dawah. This will affect the quality of what you do. Because we know if your income is haram, your du'as are not answered. And your efforts may not be rewarded. And so we need to be careful of falling into these two extremes. On one extreme, that we neglect the purification of the soul and focus only on preaching to others. As mentioned in Surah Baqarah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Are you calling others to righteousness while forgetting yourselves? Think about it. It's actually mentioned in the Quran. Are you calling others to righteousness while forgetting yourselves? How can you do da'wah and not work on purifying your own soul? And the opposite extreme, where you only focus on yourself and you never actively get involved in calling others. No, you have to make time for both. And if you make time for both, then your focus on purifying yourself, this will have an impact of barakah in your da'wah. And sadly, The da'wah in our times has become entertainment, has become intellectual arguments that are like just intellectual with no spiritual aspect to them. They've become debates, they've become clickbait videos, they've become just words without any spiritual energy behind them. And this is sad, because a da'wah without spiritual energy funding it, I'm not saying everyone's like this, I'm saying these are some of the problems that exist in the field today. A da'wah without spiritual energy behind it is not going to be completely effective, because the real effects of the da'wah are not in your words, but in your relationship with Allah. People should be able to sense your connection with Allah, and that should attract them to worship Allah and to be righteous. That they feel the spiritual presence of a righteous person. Now, I'm not righteous. I'm still trying. I still have my own mistakes and flaws that I'm working on. But we all are supposed to be trying. And too often these days, I see people not trying. I see people not caring at all about their own souls. Openly committing haram while on a da'wah journey. You know, one of my friends who at that time, we both were very young and just getting started with da'wah in our early 20s. And he told me a story that shocked me. He had just come back from a trip to another country with a world-renowned da'i, someone who is still quite popular today. And he told me what he experienced on that trip shook his faith in the da'wah. And he didn't want to tell me too much, so I asked him for one example. And he told me that when he was traveling with that world-renowned da'i, the da'i told him, let's go for a massage by a non-mahram woman. Right? And those of you who know in certain lands that a massage, firstly, having a non-mahram woman touch you is haram, but in certain lands it's something else. It's something worse. Don't want to mention what it is, right? But it shocked him to the core. This is a world-renowned, famous person with hundreds of thousands of followers. Right till today, hundreds of thousands of followers. Yet while on a da'wah journey, he's looking for a woman to massage him. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. May Allah forgive them and us and conceal the sins of the believers. On the other side, I have in my life witnessed truly pious people in the field of da'wah. And those are the people I aspire to be like. And we all should aspire to be like. Alhamdulillah, I have been blessed in my life with some truly pious teachers. People who their spiritual presence was enough to convince me that this is indeed the true religion. One of my teachers when I was a teenager was a very pious man who many people simply by meeting him and spending 5 or 10 minutes in his company would repent from their sins and become righteous themselves. And he had this impact on thousands of people in the community. A very simple man, a very righteous man. And when he was passing away, rather a few months before he passed away, he had a dream in which the Prophet ﷺ told him to come to Medina because he will pass away soon. And so he moved to Medina and he's buried in Al-Baqi. You know, this is the level of righteousness we should be aspiring towards, which seems to be missing in the younger generation. Another teacher of mine in my teenage years was a world-renowned da'i. The man who basically revived da'wah to non-Muslims in the 21st century. And I had the privilege of spending time in his company in the last year of his life. And when he passed away, I attended his janazah. A few weeks later, I had a dream in which his body was lying in my house and the soul came back into the body. And so I realized I was talking to a man who has passed away and seen the unseen. And I asked him, what did you experience after you passed away? And he began to describe his Jannah to me. He began to describe Jannah to me. And I remember waking up with a big smile on my face and a happiness in my heart that I've never felt before or after. That to me was my moment of yaqeen, my moment of conviction. I'm not saying this about myself, I'm saying this about them, the teachers. That these were people genuinely lived lives of righteousness. Like these were people who were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men of piety. Men whose lives were focused on pleasing Allah. And their good endings are proof of that. Are we working towards a good ending? Are we focused on purifying our souls? I worry that our generation, it's not even possible to reach the level of piety that they did. And one of my teachers was saying that the reason why we don't see so many pious people in the world today is because haram is so easily accessible today. That the average teenager, by the time they start studying Islam, they already would have seen more haram images than the predecessors would have seen in their entire lifetime. Because of how easily accessible the haram is in our times. And anytime you do anything haram, whether it's eating haram or earning haram or looking at haram or saying haram words, whatever it is, it has a negative spiritual effect on you and your da'wah. It has a negative spiritual effect on you and your da'wah. And if you are not trying to give up your sins, if you're not trying to be better, if you're not constantly being involved in seeking Allah's forgiveness and trying to be a better Muslim, then your da'wah is going to have no barakah in it at all. It's going to come across as hypocritical. People are going to eventually learn. May Allah conceal our sins, but it's possible that people may learn about your secret sins. Especially if you stop trying to even give them up and you just embrace them and stop even seeing them as sins. And this could lead to scandals and this could completely derail your da'wah. So no, you can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. Nobody can be perfect. That's just the nature of this world and the nature of the human beings. Humans are created weak. But we all need to be trying. We all need to have a constant daily effort to try and become better Muslims. You should at least be a better Muslim today than you were 1 year ago. And every year you should be leveling up. There should be some sins that are dropping off, some good deeds are being added. I'm not even just talking about the bare minimum. I know it's hard to get some du'at today to even do the bare minimum, like praying 5 times a day and not flirting with the opposite gender. This is the bare minimum, right? And covering appropriately. This is bare minimum. But again, something a lot of my teachers used to emphasize is that if you are involved in any type of Islamic work, your ibadat cannot be bare minimum. It needs to be excellent. You need to be worshipping Allah on a higher level. You cannot just be doing the bare minimum of just praying 5 times a day and avoiding the major sins. No, you need to be doing more acts of worship. You need to be doing extra good deeds, the mustahab actions, the optional actions. You need to have secret good deeds. You need to be someone who is pushing yourself to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whether you like it or not, once you get involved in the da'wah, other people start looking at you as a model of Islamic behavior. And if your behavior is messed up, if your behavior is un-Islamic, if your behavior is problematic, it pushes them away from the da'wah. And so, it's not enough for the da'i to just be doing bare minimum. No, if you are involved in da'wah, you need to excel at worship. So what can we do to ensure that we are constantly working on the purification of the soul? Let's just share a few tips. Number one, of course, please ensure you are praying 5 times a day, at bare minimum. 5 times a day, your salah. This is something that no da'i should be neglecting. Yes, sometimes as humans, you may slip up, you may have fallen asleep and missed a salah or not heard your alarm, and you should make qada straight away. That's different. That is a mistake or forgetfulness. Allah has forgiven for this ummah its mistakes and forgetfulness, as long as you're making qada straight away. I'm talking about being negligent, where it's just not a priority to you, where you don't have this habit of praying five times a day. This should be something you establish even before you get involved in the da'wah. Praying five times a day is bare minimum of being a believer. It's one of the pillars of Islam. And we should not be just doing the bare minimum. No, we should be doing more. You should be praying the sunnah. If possible, you should be praying the tahajjud. Right? I myself am not at this level. May Allah forgive us and help us to increase our ibadat. But that should be an aspiration. That should be something we should be working towards. That we become regular with the qiyamul layl. That we engage in more salah than everybody else. Another thing we should be doing often is holding ourselves accountable for our own deeds. Muhasaba, self-accountability, self-reflection. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, hold yourself accountable before the day when you are held accountable. And evaluate your deeds before the day when your deeds will be evaluated. Because your reckoning will be easier tomorrow if you hold yourself accountable today. How many of us take the time to sit back and think, how can I be a better Muslim? Are there any good deeds I should be improving? Are there any sins I should be trying to get rid of in my life? Do we actually take the time to think about this and to try and formulate a strategy of self-improvement? This is something we should be doing. If not every day, at least once a week, take the time to ask yourself, am I really living a life that's pleasing to Allah? How can I improve? Just go through your day and ask yourself, how many sins did I commit today? Can I do less tomorrow? How many good deeds did I do today? Can I do more tomorrow? What opportunities for good deeds did I let slip by me? Can I make sure that in the future I act on those opportunities instead of letting them slip by? What triggered me to fall into a sin? Can I get rid of those triggers so that those sins are not accessible anymore? You need to be your own mentor when it comes to spirituality. Unless, of course, you do have a spiritual mentor, which we'll come to in the next section when we talk about suhbah and righteous company. But at the very least, you need to be holding yourself accountable, even if you don't have people in your lives to hold you accountable. It shouldn't be that you think that you are it, that you are pious, that you are the man, and there's no need and room for self-improvement. So you never look in the mirror and ask yourself how I can improve. If you do that, you've already failed. Because the man who thinks he's pious is not pious. And the man who thinks that he's the biggest sinner in the world and keeps asking Allah for forgiveness, that is the pious man. So you need to focus on your soul. If you notice a spiritual disease, figure out a way to overcome it. Alhamdulillah, there is so much of research done over the past 1,400 years by Muslims on how to overcome any type of spiritual disease you can think of. You will find books on the topic. Whether it's jealousy, whether it's wrong intentions, whether it's malice, whether it's laziness, whatever it is, whatever spiritual disease your heart is suffering from, there are books out there that you can read that will give you a path to purifying your soul and self-improvement. That is one of the beautiful things about our religion, how comprehensive it is in covering all of these things with practical steps for helping you to improve. One book that I would recommend that covers all of these spiritual issues and has recently been translated into English is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah's Madarij al-Salikin, right? The ranks of the divine seekers. Madarij al-Salikin has always been for me the go-to book for my own purification of the soul. And I was so happy recently to learn that Dr. Waymir Anjum had actually translated a lot of it into English. Two large volumes. I highly recommend reading this book. You will find in it sections on almost any aspect of spirituality on how to improve, and the best part is that this book is based on Quran and Sunnah. So if you feel that certain acts of worship might be bid'ah, you're not going to find those acts of worship in this book. It is spirituality based on Quran and Sunnah. What else can we do to purify our souls? Make sure you are involved in daily istighfar. that you're seeking Allah's forgiveness every day. Because sometimes we commit sins unknowingly. And none of us are at that level where we go through an entire day without sinning. Well, maybe you are, but I'm not. So we should be seeking Allah's forgiveness every day. Make sure you have daily adhkar and du'as that are habits of yours. That there are times of the day where you sit and remember Allah and make du'a to Allah. At the very least, memorize the morning and evening du'as and mention them after Fajr and after Maghrib, so that you start and end your day with remembrance of Allah. And this helps to purify your soul. It's also important that you have secret good deeds to counter the effect of any public good deeds that may have been tainted with riba. Not with riba, with riya, sorry. Right? Any public good deeds that may have been tainted with riya, with showing off. You can counter that by having secret good deeds that nobody knows about besides Allah and you. Every Muslim should have secret good deeds. Whether it's your tahajjud, whether it's reciting Quran every day, whether it's some charity that you give quietly, whether it's someone who you're assisting, that nobody knows you're assisting that person, whatever it is, you should have secret good deeds. And you should invest time daily on building these secret good deeds, because they become a counter to your secret sins and to the sins of the heart like riya. And they really help to purify the soul, especially in times where you might be going downhill. Another important part of purification of the soul is righteous company. Be very careful who your teachers are, who your friends are, who you're spending time with. Because the people you spend time around have an actual impact on your iman, on your piety, on your connection with Allah. So be very careful about the people you allow to influence. We'll discuss this in more details in the next video, because that focuses specifically on suhbah, on righteous companionship. It's also important to note that in your life, you are going to experience highs and lows of iman. See, many people are not prepared for this. Many people assume that it's just a one-way journey. If I'm doing good deeds, I'll be continuously going higher. But no, through the tests of life, through the temptations, through the tricks of shaitan, through moments of weakness, you will experience lows. You will experience moments where you're not at your best self, and where you're more likely to fall into sin than to do good deeds. This is part of being human, that you experience such moments in your life. Now, if you're doing self-reflection, you'll be able to catch yourself in such moments and to turn things around. And we all need to do this. And I'll say this much. If you are someone involved in da'wah who recently had a moment of weakness and committed a major sin of some kind, do not allow that to derail you from the da'wah completely. Engage in tawbah, repent to Allah, block all the means that lead to whatever sin you fell into, and pick yourself back up and keep working forward for the sake of Allah. Our religion is not a religion of a cancel culture. Just because you fell into a major sin, even if somehow it became public knowledge, that doesn't mean that it's the end. No, there's always a way back to Allah. There's always a way back to the straight path, as long as you are breathing. It's shaitan that wants you to give up. It's shaitan that wants you to stop doing your da'wah and your Islamic work. And he will use these weaknesses and traps to make you give up. Don't give up. Yes, maybe you may need to take a break for 6 months to a year to purify your soul, to do active tawbah, to turn yourself around, to get rid of these weaknesses. But don't give up. Take a spiritual break to bring yourself back up to a good level. But no matter how badly you have slipped up in your life, there's always the way back to Allah. Remember, it's just shaitan that wants you to give up. It's Allah who wants you to make tawbah and to keep coming back to Him. Now, sadly, when I was younger, I had a friend who was an absolute genius intellectually. and someone whose whole life was about the da'wah. Young man, we both were young men who our lives were all about the da'wah, and he was an intellectual genius. And every day he was putting out amazing content about the deen. Until one day when he just went quiet. And he just disappeared. And he just stopped doing da'wah. We never heard from him again. It's been more than 12 years. Never heard from him again. Although I did hear a month or two later that someone reached out to him to ask him, why did you stop doing da'wah? And it turned out that this brother had fallen into a major sin and had given up to a weakness and committed a sin once, a major sin once. But he felt so guilty and so hypocritical for committing this major sin once that he just stopped doing da'wah altogether. And that's a tragedy. Because in reality, one secret major sin should not derail you from trying to live a life that is pleasing to Allah. You can make tawbah. You can pick up the pieces. You can get back on the straight path. You can continue using the gifts that Allah has blessed you with to live a life that is pleasing to Allah. Our religion is full of second chances. Second chance upon second chance. You can commit a sin and make tawbah and fall back into that sin and make tawbah. Allah will keep forgiving as long as you are sincere and you are trying your best. But for people to give up, especially someone who had the potential to be amazing, to accomplish great things for the sake of Allah, to give up at the first major sin, that's letting the devil win. That's letting shaitan win. So be very careful about this. Shaitan will use your weaknesses, whatever that weakness is, whether it's money, whether it's the opposite gender, whether it's fame, whatever it is, shaitan will use your weaknesses to drive you into major sin so that you become despondent and you give up on your da'wah. You have to be smarter than shaitan. Firstly, you have to avoid his traps. And if in a moment of weakness you gave into one of his traps, you have to make tawbah, pull yourself back onto the straight path and keep striving to live a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not give up. And realize that no one is perfect. And everyone involved in the da'wah has their secret sins. Everyone involved in the da'wah has their struggles and their temptations and their weaknesses. Everyone has the days when the iman is high and the day when the iman is low. Everyone has something that they repented from. Everybody has something that they're making istighfar from daily. Don't allow shaitan to derail you into giving up your da'wah altogether because of some weakness. Rather, you continue to work on purifying your soul. You continue to work on tawbah and istighfar, repenting and seeking Allah's forgiveness. And you continue to call people towards Allah, not for yourself, but for the sake of Allah. So purifying the soul is important. If we neglect this, it's far easier to fall into major sins. It's far easier to become the opposite of what we are preaching. It's far easier to lose track of what is most important, and that is the pleasure of Allah. When we are not purifying our souls, we become easy targets for the devil. And sin becomes easy. But if we are making a constant effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to live a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are trying our best, then even if we slip up along the way, inshallah we can find our way back to Allah. And we can find our way back to the straight path. But it's about effort. Constant effort. Do not neglect the purification of your own soul. Understand that the human soul is such that if you're not working on purifying it, if you're not actively working on purifying it, then the temptations and the weaknesses and the sins around you will be having a negative effect on it without you even realizing it. Iman is something, it's either going up or down. It doesn't stay static. So if you're not working on increasing it, then slowly it is decreasing. So do your best to try and live a life that is pleasing to Allah. If you slip up, do istighfar and tawbah. Never give up on the da'wah, never give up on purifying your soul, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our religion is not one of cancel culture, our religion is not one of, oh, you slipped up once, you're done for life, no one's ever gonna listen to you again. No, our religion is one where everyone is trying their best to please Allah, and if they mess up, they can do tawbah and try again. And that is something that we need to keep in our mind all the time. And really, if you are focused constantly on purifying the soul, then inshallah, you'll never find yourself in a situation where you fall into a major sin. As for the minor sins, it's humanly impossible to live a life free of minor sin. It's humanly impossible to live a life that is free of minor sins. Everyone has their minor sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that if you strive to avoid the major sins, Allah will forgive the minor sins. So we have to actively be striving to be our best versions of ourselves. And if along the way we fall into a few minor sins, we should be doing istighfar daily to make up for that. But be very, very careful of the parts that lead to major sins, because that is what shaitan is using to try and make you give up on your da'wah. So with that, we come to the end of today's lesson. In our next video, we will discuss the importance of suhbah, of spending time in the company of the righteous, and how that will have a positive impact on your da'wah and on the purification of your soul. Jazakallah khairan wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.